The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, Jeffersonians. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter, along with the Hat Man, Travis. How are you doing, brother?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Travis.
And we are here this morning broadcasting live.
Happy Father's Day to all you fathers
out
there.
I was going to get there.
Yeah,
you stole my thunder.
You're always slow.
I was going to get
you're
there.
You're just slow.
I was stealing my thunder.
Father's Day, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Happy
Travis.
Father's Day. Travis is Father of the Year.
Yeah.
My brother.
That shirt says it, not true.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Hey, if it's in print, it's got to be true, right?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, happy Father's Day to all the great and wonderful dads
yes,
out there.
Yes, happy Father's Day, everyone. We're broadcasting live from KCNR from downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We are also podcasting and streaming live, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a comment or a question, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We are here this morning with two very good friends, with Liz and Marion Walker. Two wonderful ladies. We're going to have them on and be talking about that. Dad isn't here. He's a pastor over at Faith Community Church on Bonnyview. One of those wonderful pastors that understand that you can be a patriot, a pastor, and fight for liberty all at the same time, along with our good friend David Stark.
Amen.
On the other side of town.
We've got a couple of good pastors involved in this. Yeah.
David Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all doing their job.
They are. Understanding. Maybe the black robe. No, I don't know.
Get the brigade going.
Anyway, yeah, they're both. These two are smiling. I can say no. Anyway, Liz, how are you, my dear? And tell us a little bit about something about yourself.
I'm good. We moved up here from liberal Southern California 3 years ago, and I'm a private tutor and personal assistant, which basically means I'm an extra pair of hands around the house. So whatever people need help with, whether it's cleaning, running errands, working in the yard. Sometimes it's painting. Sometimes it's accompanying the family on vacations. So a variety of different things, childcare and that kind of stuff. I have had such an education since I've moved up here. I knew about, you know, our history as a nation, but I've just gone more in depth and studying the Constitution through Wall Builders and Chris Hann Hall and Hillsdale College. And I've just had a major shift in my thinking and the importance to be involved and speak out because we need to. You know, things are going downhill and we've drifted so far from the Constitution that we need to get back on track, and we need to hold our elected officials accountable and make sure that they're following the Constitution. Do you want me to share about?
In a second, but I want to go to that point because that's such a great point. You know, in a lot of cases, we've always looked at things, well, what's happening nationally? What happens with the president, with the Congress? But understanding that the states really do have the power and the states really do have the control. I mean, the states created the federal government, number one. Number two, we the people created the states. So it's the understanding of that local government. I'm really interested in what it was when you decided all of a sudden, you know, I've had enough of this. I understand I have to be standing up for my community. When did that really hit you, and what are some of the things, some of the points that you believe we need to be looking at?
Well, we started going to the Patriots meetings, and that was eye-opening. And I love how somebody in that group says when they were interviewing the potential candidates, they're like, "We're here to interview you. We're discussing whether or not we're going to hire you." I'm like, Okay, I've never heard that perspective, but that's right. We are the boss because we are hiring them. But a lot of times they think they are the boss and they can just do whatever they want. And
we all know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
She's a patriot.
Yes.
So it was a change of thought or just the beginning of a new thought when you witnessed that?
It was, that was a change in my thinking that we are the boss. It's we the people. It's not the government. Because, you know, we hear all the time, well, the government's in charge and whatever they say, you know, you just have to do.
Exactly.
But that's not true. If you read the Constitution is limiting government.
Correct.
And protecting our rights. It's not limiting our rights and giving the government more power.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people talk about constitutional rights. Our rights come from God. The Constitution protects it. The Constitution is the foundation of what the government can only do. And what's in that Constitution is what they can only do. Most state constitutions agree with that. And they agree that the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. Now, a lot of the things that you brought up at Boards of Supervisors meetings, which I think is... It has just been incredible, some of the things that you've come up with and some of the insights you've had. And then I'm going to just ask you one more thing, and then I want you to expand on that. When you decided to speak, and there had to be that one thing, that really got you going to where you've had it, you know, you're going to stand up, you're going to be diligent, and you have been quite diligent. What was that one thing?
Well, when I first started going, they said, well, just show up. Just we need extra support. So I was just showing up during the summer when they locked us out. And,
in the heat and the smoke.
Because of they want to protect people's health, which makes a whole lot of sense. And they had people lining up to speak, but I'm like, I'm not prepared to speak. I don't really want to do that. But then when they finally opened the chambers in January, I was in the chambers and I still wasn't comfortable just getting up there. But after a while, and David Barton is really the one that, encouraged me to do this. He says, we have to be involved. We cannot sit back. And like, I got to speak up. And I don't know exactly one thing that it was, but it's like, they're just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're abusing their power. They're doing things that they don't have the jurisdiction to do. And so I'm like, I have to speak up. I have to speak the truth. And it's interesting. We have to educate these people on what the Constitution and the law actually says.
Yeah.
They took an oath to it.
Right.
They took an oath to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I spoke out once, and then I sometimes had to work, and then I decided, I have to make this a priority. And so because I'm self-employed and I have my own clients, I can schedule them whenever I want. So I'm like, I'm keeping Tuesday mornings open so that I can be there because I feel like I have to keep speaking up.
Yeah, you've brought up some pretty interesting things. And the thing I like about some of the, and I don't know if you have any of that with you, but I'd like to maybe have you reflect on some of the things you've said at the Board of Supervisors, if you have any of that with you or not. Because one of the things I really liked was the fact that it would just be common sense. There was humor sprinkled in, but it was like common sense. I mean, you guys are doing this, and you're saying this, so which is it?
Yeah, well, one of the things I talked about was the masks in school and how it's really illegal to suffocate a child. Because the bottom line is that California Education Code 49005.8 says you cannot restrict a child's breathing. And people kept asking me, well, does that apply in all situations? Does that apply to the mask? I'm like, well, why was that code written? It was written to protect the child's rights, the right to breathe. Because if you can't breathe, you die, and you have the right to life. So if it applies in one situation, it applies in any situation. It's not restricted to just, well, when you're disciplining the child, you can't restrict their breathing. It's they have fundamental rights. They have to be protected, and that's why that code was put in place.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's a great point.
And it's sad that we had to have that code put in place to protect a child. Why is that code there? How many children have suffered due to that?
Right, and another thing in that code, it says you have to monitor the child when you're restricting them. And kids today in math, they have signs of distress, but that they don't do anything to help them.
Well, can't they put the little O2 meters on their little fingers and find out what they're really at? Why not? They don't cost a whole lot. You put that on there and just see where they're at. Rip that mask off. Well, rip that mask off. Guess what? They're less than whatever percentage needs to be safe, which to me is like 98, 99. So if they're less than that, that mask stays off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a, you know, common sense way to do it. I mean, the schools are doing this, and they're not protecting the children. And the parents are allowing it.
Right.
That's what kills me. If my kids were of that age, there's no way I would be, I'd probably be in real big trouble for going down and trying to address it. Yeah. I'm just blessed and grateful that my kids are older, but we need to speak up for all the kids that are still there.
Right, right.
And I'm glad you did that.
In April, the Board of Supervisors voted to have Child Abuse Awareness Prevention Month. And so I spoke to him like, this is happening right in front of you in the schools. The kids are being abused. And you're doing nothing.
And you're doing nothing about it.
But you put on this facade that we care about children. You don't.
That's right.
Well, the same facade as them saying that they're public servants. They aren't.
Right.
You know, when you talk to them about the Constitution, Joe Comente's famous statements are, well, we do have a social contract. Well, what oath do you take to a social contract? I mean, you take an oath to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California. You know, and to me, I think the overall restrictions of the First Amendment, even when the Board of Supervisors, you know, when Comente came up with the motion that you can only speak to any agendized item or anything during your 3-minute public comment. I mean, that's against the Brown Act. You are able to speak on any agendized item. It's the decorum that they've been trying to use here with verbiage, because there was some verbiage that wasn't appropriate for children, maybe not appropriate for anybody, as far as the Board of Supervisors. And then Mary Rickert last week
went off the rails.
Yeah, went off the rails and told Les Baugh that he was full of something he shouldn't be full of.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you have all this stuff, all this hypocrisy going on. In fact, that one particular motion that was made by Comente in restricting public comment to all comments to public comment only was rescinded, and he voted to rescind his own order the next meeting. I mean, they're a mess. You know, I know that, Marion, you've been to some of these meetings with your daughter. You've been there. You've observed a lot of this stuff. You know, I'm sure that and your husband has been amazing when he spoke. What's your thoughts on this whole issue as far as the Board of Supervisors and what they're doing?
They need to be told that they're evil and they need to stop it. Did you hear me okay?
You go ahead.
They need to be told that they are evil and they should stop it, because they are violating everybody's rights. And this last thing about taking down the shield,
the plexiglass.
Yeah. He's like, that was ridiculous that they called OSHA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They didn't put it up. He did. So he was supposed to take it down. But and now they're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Aren't they going to take it
down? Well, I think they're going to take it down. And I know when Patrick did that, he got some flack about doing it. But, you know, the real deal is that what good would that do anyway? I mean, you know.
It took him two minutes.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out.
It took him 2 minutes to take it down, you know, from the time he got out of his vehicle.
They spent $9,000.
Yeah.
They spent $9,000. And then
plastic.
And you made a great comment, Liz, when you talked about how they took the seats out. You know, it's like
it was less than 25% of
yes.
the seats left. So
yes.
Like, how come you're limiting that more than restaurants and all that? That didn't make sense.
Well, it's all about power. It's all about the power
control.
Structure.
Control.
I had a friend of mine who does another radio program, and I was talking to him yesterday. In fact, called into this radio program, but talked to him after, because he had made mention that we need to follow the example of a couple of counties in Nevada that are called constitutional counties. Well, there's a little challenge with a constitutional county when the people you elect, who are your supervisors in our case, in some other states they're called commissioners, but supervisors, and they aren't following the Constitution. They're breaking their oath of office. They're breaking their oath to the California Constitution, and they're not doing the will of the people, and also inflicting all these different crazy things on people, on what they can do and what they can't do, within the scope of them believing that this is social justice or social contract. And to me, that just blows my mind to think that they would do that, that they can do that, get away with it. How do you have a constitutional county with those people? That's why they got to go.
Right.
And along with that, taking out the seats, first they said no one can sit down, and now no one can stand up.
So lay down on the floor and it's all good, right?
You know, and that's so true. I mean, you know, that was one of the rules that you can't stand. Well, okay, well, they had to rescind that one, too, because there's people like myself whose backs are a little bit out of whack, and you've got to stand up every so often. I mean, if you go back and lean up against the wall, it takes away a lot of the stress in your back, et cetera.
Especially when you're there for so long.
Oh, yeah, right. Because, you know, I mean, they keep talking about this night meeting, that we're going to have a night meeting. And
yeah.
I know that's something we've been pressing, you know, forever. And Joe Cometti, one of the promises he made when he was elected is that he was going to, you know, he was going to shoot for that at least once a month.
Yeah.
Night meeting. Has anybody seen that? Or?
And they're the only group that does that. The school board meets at night. City Council meets at night. Why is the County Board of Supervisors in the daytime when everyone's working,
they're
so you can't
scared.
Speak up?
Because you can't go.
You can't go, that's right.
If you're working, you can't go.
Yep.
Right.
It's about another element of control.
No accountability.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the biggest one they have, so they're going to hold on to it as long as they can until they're truly pressured into actually doing it. And they're going to say that meeting that they held a while back regarding the marijuana was the night meeting. It was not. It was a one-issue meeting, and it was not a night meeting. And then they restricted what you could talk about.
Right. And they keep every week something is different about the rules or the order.
Right.
And it's like we don't even know what to expect when we go there.
Right.
And then they move the public comment till later. People can't stay. So that's another way of getting rid of hearing from the people.
And then not calling in.
Yeah, now you can't call in anymore.
And then they may or may not read the emails that are sent to them.
Yeah, there's no accountability when you send them an email.
That's right, except for your own.
Right.
And when they don't address it, then you can bring it forward, you know, if that happens. But, you know, but when you send the email, you send it tagged to each one of them. Because when if you send one to Joe, they all get it. So you send one to Joe, you send one to Luz, alas, you send one to each one of them. That way they all get it multiple times, right? And then you also CC or BCC that to, oh, maybe the newspaper or to whoever else, to the CAO, and you hold them accountable that others are receiving this as well. So that way, there is no way that they can truly, morally, and ethically skirt the issue. You know, and that's the thing, too. We've got to hold them accountable. Like you were saying, they're being evil. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Look what they're doing to the children. First and foremost, the next generation who is coming up. Who's going to take care of them when they're older? It's going to be that generation. How do they think they're going to be treated? When you can't take care of yourself, they're going to put a mask on you or something else or euthanize you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not planning very far ahead, and they're just not being good Christian people by doing what they're doing, which is very, very frustrating to me. They pledge allegiance to the flag in the meetings, and then they'll open the meeting with somebody coming up and doing a prayer for the meeting. How can you do all that and yet do what you do? It's just, you're right. It's absolutely evil.
Well, they even said, your pastor that prayed a couple weeks ago, well, thank you for all those Bible verses. And then they discounted it.
Yeah.
They just ignored it. It's like they took them and just threw them on the floor.
Yeah. Well, they're going to pay for that.
Well, you know that, you know, when we talk about some of the things they've done, like the censure for Leonard Modi, he gets censured. The grand jury showed that he had misfeasance going behind the car fire lines to check in his home. They had shown that this was for personal use only. He utilized the sheriff's department and public servants that are in health and safety to go back behind the lines. At one point, he picked up a couple of bottles of wine that were expensive out of his neighbor's house. I don't know. Never did get that clear whether those were his bottles at his neighbor's house or his neighbor's
Regardless.
Bottles that he was going to share with them. I'm not sure which it was. But, you know, you have all that happening. So it's a misfeasance. Well, I would say it's malfeasance. And Thomas Inko, our former sheriff, apparently seemed to, according to the Record Church Line and according to the statement that was read by Les Swath, the Board of Supervisors, seem to agree. Mr. McGreeny, who's no longer our sheriff, who resigned, was the person apparently that drove Mr. Modi back behind the car fire lines to get some of this stuff. And, you know, you look at the corruption there and just the Yet where's the DA? See, this is my question. This is the point I'm getting to. The district attorney sent investigators out to investigate two ladies that are upstanding citizens, whose husband's in law enforcement, to check on a complaint about how the recall was going. Now, the problem with that is that the signatures had been verified by Kathy Darling Allen. They'd already been verified. Mm-hmm. So, how do you possibly go back and say, okay, well, you know, we're investigating this. But here's my question. My question is that they send these investigators out. They're doing all this stuff where they have a supervisor, a sitting supervisor, who the grand jury states has done some criminal action, yet nobody investigates him. They also have group that's receiving money that's supporting the supervisors who are out there doing ads on radio stations, the ones that are being recalled, about how they shouldn't be recalled and stuff. What's going on with all of this? My question is, I know that Stephanie Bridget cannot talk about this particular case. If, by the way, she ended up shoveling it off to the Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. So now I guess it becomes administrative. But anyway, she shovels this thing off for these for the Shasta recall folks. She sends out these particular investigators. And I know she can't talk about the case, but here's my question. Miss Bridget, how do you prioritize where you send your understaffed, overworked, a year behind in a lot of cases, investigators to go investigate something? And then on top of that, they don't even tell the people they're investigating why they're even there. How do you prioritize your time for your investigators? And I would hope the next time that Stephanie Bridget goes on a radio show or is interviewed by a host, that question would be asked. That's not asking about the particular issue or the particular investigation. It's simply, how do you prioritize that? You've got murders, you've got drugs, you've got robberies, you've got burglaries, yet you send your investigators out to visit these two women. So how do you prioritize that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and she's going to have to remember that at election time. And
oh,
so are
gosh.
All the sovereign citizens of this great county when they go to vote. Don't forget, she's not appointed, she's an elected official. So you have to remember that. That's our quiver, arrow in our quiver. We have to use that. We have to be smart about it. And we have to do our homework on everyone that runs for office. We have to.
Yeah. I don't know why somebody doesn't ask her that question. I mean, it has nothing to do, again, with the case.
Everybody.
It's just like, how do you prioritize? That's all. That's what we want to know. We want to know how you prioritize. You know, we see crime on the streets all the time.
Yep.
All the time. There's a lot of bad stuff. All the time. They're a year behind. She's complaining about not being able to get enough people to fill a jury room because they can only take 15 at a time. Everything's awful. There's no money. There's no time. Everybody's overworked. Yet you're going to send your investigators out to visit two law-abiding women. One, a mother of two.
Yeah.
I demand that we find that out. I want to know how they prioritize. And I know when she was on a talk show on the radio last week, she had somebody else in there who's running for attorney general as a buffer, basically.
Yep.
No one could ask her a question. And I don't know about you folks out there, but I'm really sick and tired of this. I'm tired of the corruption. I'm tired about not having questions answered. And if everything is on the up and up, we should be able to be told how those investigators are prioritized.
Yep.
And along those same lines, going back to Modi and going in behind the fire lines, if he was really concerned about people, he would have helped people go in and save their grandkids. But he didn't do that.
That's right.
So, you know, to me, that's no integrity. It's corruption. It's evil.
Yep.
And we got the same kind of thing going on now with our president wanting to make everybody get electric cars while black children are working in cobalt mines
mm-hmm.
and dying mm-hmm. because there's birth defects and they're close to uranium and they're dying. So he wants black lives don't matter as long as everybody can get their electric car.
Mm, boy.
So. There you go. Okay, well, we have to go off to our break, and so we'll be back in just a few moments.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
giant. When I was just a kid, I was always trying to do everything he did. I can still remember every lesson he taught me, growing up, learning how to be like my old man. He was a lion. We were a father's pride, but I was defiant. When he made me walk the line, he knew how to lift me up and when to let me fall. Looking back, he always had a plan, my old man.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon. Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Watching Travis dance. I think watching Travis dance is more fun.
It's fun for me.
You know how to move that stuff, buddy.
That's
you get that going in ways that...
Hey, Travis, why don't you find some beautiful summer songs that talk about lower temperatures? or summer rain, you know, something that will chill here in Shasta County a little bit, or all over in Jefferson Territory.
Exactly. 113 on Monday, they say.
Ay, ay, ay. I'm done with this. Yeah. Hasn't even started.
Anyway, if you just tuned in, we are here broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, KCNR1460.com. You can go there. You can listen to this live. It's podcasted worldwide, and it is archived. So we're here with Liz Walker and her mom, Marion. And they are here today. And again, happy Father's Day, guys. I hope you have a great day today. God bless you all. And Liz is and her mom and her father, who's a pastor over at Faith Community Church, a wonderful man. Nothing but respect for him. Anyway, they've moved here from Southern California, came here and decided, you know what? We're going to stand for our rights. We're going to stand on some issues, and we're going to stand up for the children. We're going to stand up for our community, and these supervisors got to go. So, Liz, what say you?
Well, I just want to share how I got to the point where I am, where I can speak and write, because when I was in fourth grade, I struggled with reading comprehension, and then we moved when I was in fifth grade to a different area, and I never had a single spelling or vocabulary test. The philosophy of the school was, well, when you read, you'll just automatically pick up these words and know how to spell them and know what they mean. Well, that didn't work for me. So by the time I got to sixth grade, my English skills were back in the fourth grade level. And I was sick a lot in fifth and sixth grade, and so my mom would pick up my schoolwork, bring it home, teach it to me. She was practically homeschooling me at that point. And I could not express myself either verbally or in written form. And at the end of sixth grade, I was accused by the school of ditching class, and I didn't. What happened was the teacher had a student take the roll, and he accidentally marked me absent instead of the kid that was right above me. And so the school thought that I had ditched that period. And so they called me into the office, and I had no idea why. And they chewed me out, would not believe me. And they called my mom. You want to share what they said to you?
Oh, they said, well, she has to be in school. Well, she's sick. And, well, you have to have her in school unless you have a doctor's excuse. And I said, well, even if she has, like, chicken pox or the measles or the mumps? Yes. And, well, I said, well, is there anything wrong with your grades? No. And she was an A student because I was teaching her while she was at home. And we were turning all the homework in and everything like that, too. So, and then when I decided I was going to just take her out of school because I've had enough of this, one of her teachers said, oh, she's going to lose all of her social skills if she leaves school. And I said, well, thank you for your concern. But, you know, she was involved in, church, in Awana, and, you know, playing with kids all the time. She did not lack any social skills at all. In fact, being at school probably would be detrimental because she had a couple of girls that wrote her a note one time and said, if you want to not be hurt, you have to be a part of our club.
You have to do whatever we want.
Do whatever we tell you to do. And she was afraid to even show it to me, and I found it torn up and thrown into the wastebasket, and I put it together, and I said, Liz, what happened here? She said, oh, those girls gave it to me, and I didn't want to get beat up. So we went into the
vice principal.
He said, oh, the girls probably didn't mean it. You know, it's in black and white. So that was the turning point. I'm taking her out.
So did you homeschool her from that time on?
From that time
seventh
on.
Seventh grade through 12th, and she worked tirelessly with me on expressing myself verbally and in written form. And so, and I'm sure I drove her crazy with my resistance because I did not like that. But she just threatened to put me back in public school, and I straight up. But well, anyway, that's because of her working with me so much on it, that's why I'm able to do what I'm doing today. In fact, in college, when I was taking critical thinking, I actually challenged the author of our critical thinking textbook because he wasn't thinking critically. And I wrote this whole, paper, you know, explaining how he wasn't doing it. And the teacher's like, oh, that was you that wrote that? I got an A.
Yeah, that's amazing awesome. To me because you're probably one of the most articulate people I've ever met. You know, we've met a lot of them. You know, when you speak, it's been amazing. I can see where you get it from listening to your mom speak. You know, and and your dad's amazing. So I mean, the thing is that I love that. And the thing is, you had to really overcome some issues. And I think that's the thing that to me that I love about people. And that's the people that are willing to do the things that they're uncomfortable with because they have to be done. And so many people, you know, that run for office are running for one reason or another. And the ones that should run, that don't run, but should run, that should run, do it because it has to be done. You know, Mark Baird's a good example of that. I mean, here's a guy that when he says, hey, you know, I'd just rather be out plinking, you know, out with my wife, riding a horse, doing whatever I've got to do rather than doing what I'm doing. Yet Mark Baird has forgotten more about the Constitution and law than probably most people know. And an amazing man. Another one who doesn't want to do it. Sometimes you have to drag. He's screaming and yelling not to do it. But I'll tell you, when he gets a burr under his saddle, like you, young lady, it's time to get out there, and you don't want to mess with him. So you don't mess with Liz.
And let me tell you, I am super nervous when I get up there, and it doesn't get better with each passing week. It gets worse, and probably because we are really in a spiritual battle, and, you know, it's tough. But I remember a college professor told me once that you have a captive audience with me. I have to read your paper. I'm like, well, I've got 3 minutes of a captive audience at the Board of Supervisors, and they're not supposed to interrupt you. So I'm going to speak, and I write it out, because if I just do it impromptu, I'm not very good at it. But so I write it out and just read it.
Amazing. We do have a caller on the line. Ron, how are you, sir? What say you?
Hey, doing pretty good, Terry. excuse me. Are you going to have anybody at the booth? I have a booth at the fair, I guess. I'm getting tongue-tied here. I was at a car show a month or two ago. Anyhow, there was a young lady and some gentleman there, and they were talking about the recall and stuff like that. And so I sit and listen to them for a little while, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about it. And anyway, are you guys going to have a booth at the fair this year at all? So that's where my question is.
Yes, we'll have a booth at the Intermountain Fair up in MacArthur on Labor Day weekend.
But we won't have one at the Shasta, I don't think.
Oh, okay, that's kind of what I was...
The Shasta District Fair is a state agency.
Right.
And they have conflicting... they're conflicted on whether we should be there or not. And since they're conflicted, the answer is no. From them. Keep in mind, too, that the fair board, most of them are all appointed by the governor. So that tells you the mindset of the board for that particular fair, because it's a state agency. The Shasta District Fair is like that. So it's the one that we would like to get into as well. If we'd like to, you know, educate everybody that comes to that fair. But the Intermountain Fair is the county fair.
Okay.
So we can get in there. And it's a nonprofit now. It's not run by the county any longer. It's leased. The property of the fairgrounds itself is leased by a nonprofit organization that runs the fair. So it's not tied to the county in that regard. So we're able to get in there. And people up there don't really care. they don't really care for the governor. They don't really care for politicians that lie and cheat and steal. And so they're very supportive of the Jefferson movement. And we've been up there for a number of years now. And, yes, we are returning.
Okay. Very concerned about those windmills up there. Yeah. Talking about that, there's going to be a meeting at Shasta College at 1 o'clock. I believe it's in the theater at Shasta College. If I'm wrong, I know my bride will.
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
And I really think folks need to be there. I mean, this whole windmill thing is just a cluster. You know, when you stop and think about the fire hazard it creates, the wildlife it's killing, the money it does not bring in, I mean, and, of course, Mary Ricker, her district. So,
it's going to leave when they die.
Some information. I'm starting to share it with people. I'm going to have some more made up. It's about the one world government, and I think I've given you and Wynn something like that about a year ago at one of the, when you were at the church on I can't think of the name of the, but anyway, and I've been sharing this information with other people recently, and some of them think it's a bunch of baloney, and others go, I can't believe you. Where'd you find this stuff? And I said, I've had it for years.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, you know, the thing is that here's the bottom line to everything. And we're going to get back to our guests here, brother.
Okay.
But love you, and hopefully I'll see you Tuesday.
Okay, we'll talk to you then.
All right, pal.
Thanks, Ron.
Anyway, you know, the thing is that it's really what we can do something about. I mean, that's the issue. The one world government, I mean, does anybody really doubt anything at this point? Do you put anything past the government? You put anything past Soros and all these folks? Of course not. And, you know, when you have a situation where you've got people that are really intent on, you know, hey, you know, the one world order, the blah, 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 the blah, 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 the blah, 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 blah. That's good to know. It's good information. But what can you do about it? The way we win this thing is we go back to local government, just like we won and we beat Great Britain, just like we won our independence. You've got to go back to the local government. That's where the strength is. Through the Red, White, and Blueprint, those guys have put together a documentary to where people all over the nation are seeing what's going on in Shasta County. Now, granted, the recall is probably the last thing you want to do, or one of the last arrows you have in your quiver.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you've got to try to get these guys to come along. The idea is to try to move them, move these people that you elect into doing what it is that the people want them to do. So we really have to start at the local level. And I appreciate all that stuff. And, you know, believe me, yes, we've been fighting that Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, you name it, we've been fighting it forever. We get it. Point is that we've got to take that fight locally. That's where it has to go. Talking about taking the fight locally, Liz?
Well, I want to just jump on that, too. What's going on in the schools, there's New World Order and humanism throughout the curriculum. And a lot of parents are unaware of what is really being taught. As a tutor, I see, you know, what they're doing. I had a student who, they never brought textbooks home, which is weird to me. When I was a kid, we always had either our own set at home or we brought them home when we had homework. And so when they're not bringing stuff home, the parents are clueless as to what's going on.
Right.
And so this student was, it was a science class, and all of the curriculum was online with the teacher. They had slides that they went off of, and the students took notes, but this student could not keep up with taking the notes. And so I asked for the teacher to give me something to help tutor her so that she's understanding and gets caught up. And finally I got something. It took a while, and I'm looking up these slides, and it's full of typographical errors, which is my pet peeve when it comes to curriculum. You know, we're trying to teach kids how
right.
to read and write
right.
and
exactly.
do it correctly,
that's
and
right.
the curriculum is ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, they just threw it together at the last minute. And this one science chapter was all about how humans are destroying the planet, they're evil,
yeah.
and they even, and then we need to reverse what evil that they're doing. And they define overpopulation as too many children are being born.
Mm-hmm.
So where is that leading?
Exactly.
They don't come out and say it.
Euthanasia?
Yeah. Abortion?
Yep.
Yeah. So, and parents are clueless. So parents need to wake up. They need to get involved. Go to the school board. You know, speak out. Instead of, you know, just whatever the school does, just let them do it. You know, we need to get involved, and we need to band together.
You're absolutely right.
How does all that comply or partner with reading, writing, and arithmetic? I just don't get it, because you look at, you know, some of the like you said, the material that's there, that they're being force-fed, how does it get them to be functioning adults in society at some point? Because you want them to be able to read. You want them to be able to count. You want them to be able to write so that they can express themselves, like you've addressed earlier. How does that work when you're telling them all this garbage? It's sickening.
It's not teaching them how to think. It's teaching them what to
what
think.
What to think.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And because they don't have books at home, they can't go back and study for themselves. It's not teaching them to be students.
Resourceful.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, well, my teacher said it, so there you go. You know?
Yeah, and what they learn at school is being pounded into them, and so then they separate that from home life. Yeah, that's sickening that people are abusing kids like that. Another way, another form of abuse in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we're allowing it, and our tax dollars are paying for it.
Yes.
Because our property tax goes to funding the schools,
yes.
parts of our property tax. And everybody has to understand that. If you own a home here in Shasta County or a business, when you pay your property tax, parts of that money goes to support the schools. It supports the salaries of the administrators, which are way bloated. Did I say bloated? Yes, they're bloated. And then some of the teachers, some of those are bloated. But then, and then the lack of material for the kids. I know because my wife is a teacher. She has been for 30 years. Do you know how much money we have personally kicked in for her to be able to have material for classrooms? Pens, pencils, papers, erasers, you name it, whatever she needed for the classes. We've done that over the years, over and over and over again. And it's so frustrating. And, you know, if you're sending your child to a private school, that's expected. Mm-hmm. You're paying for that. Mm-hmm. That's part of the package because we've done that too. So, but when she works in a public school, why are we doing that? And why is she responsible to pay for that when either the, if they need it, the material like that, why aren't they asking the parents for it? If it truly is a need and they truly don't have the money. Or why don't they curb some of these salaries and put that money allocated to the classrooms? Allocate X amount per classroom per year, depending on the subjects and all that good stuff. That needs to happen, and it's not happening. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of questions that I have for the administrators and the superintendent of schools. You know, their salary, look at their salaries. Here in Shasta County, they're bloated. It's unreal. And then what they're doing to the kids, they're masking the kids.
Well, you know, it's state controlled. I mean, that's that may be the first problem. You know, the thing is that as the counties get back their money, as you know, 87% of the money that they get back that is spent only at the pleasure of the state. Only about 13, in some cases as much as 17% of 100% is spent for the county, and that's discretionary spending. So the school stuff, you know, is just, it's crazy. We've got to get into the school boards. We have to change this at the local level. And frankly, I think COVID did a lot of that. I know that episode 4, the Red, White, and Blueprint, is specifically on that subject. It's going to be about the schools. It's going to be about the kids. It's going to be about the school boards. Because as we look around us, you know, you're absolutely right, Liz. That's the most, that's where we have to fight this battle. We have to fight this battle in the schools. But again, you got to start with your local school board. You know, I just anything controlled by the state, I'm a little leery of, but just saying.
Just a little?
Just a little, yeah. Just saying.
And you brought something up about our property tax goes to schools. Mm-hmm. So it's not just parents who have the right to tell the schools what they should or shouldn't teach.
Anybody that owns
property has the right to go to their local school board.
That's right.
And tell them, I don't want my money spent on that. I want it spent on this.
Correct.
But they're being told all the time, well, if you don't have a child in school, you have no say. But that's
not true.
A lie.
That's not true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your tax dollars are paying for those schools, truly the facilities, they're paying for everything. So, you know, you think about that. How much money is in the tax bill, what we all pay? I mean, some of us, you know, they vary depending on your purchase price of your home or the allocated value of your home that's done by the appraisal through the assessor's office. That's where that all starts. So once you get that figured out and you look on your tax bill, and I encourage everybody to look at their tax bills. And if you have questions about that, call the tax collector's office. Have them explain it to you until you are satisfied. Ring their phone off the hook, getting information from them to understand what they're billing you for. Don't just, you know, willy-nilly pay the bill. I mean, some of it, you know, some of the tax bills are enormous. You know, you just think about that. It's absolutely crazy. Mine are almost $5,000 a year. So $500 a month almost for taxes given to the county. I think I got a little bit of skin in the game. How about the rest of you? You know, you think about that. It's like, are you kidding?
Well, yeah, I think that's, and I think you're absolutely right. We have to, you know, the challenge that we have, I mean, the bottom line, the elephant in the room is that when we have local officials, public servants, school boards, water boards, you name it, they're not doing what the people want them to do. They just aren't doing it. They're breaking the law, many of them. They're doing all kinds of different things. The parents, as you said, are not able to stand up. A lot of them, you know, okay, well, you know, when my kids all went to Christian schools and my wife was there every day with them. Okay, so when you looked at that, you're going, oh, okay, well, that was sort of a thing that we were blessed enough to afford. But when kids are in public school, the parents aren't there. Probably mom and dad are both working. And, you know, you've got to prioritize that time. I mean, if you're a parent, you've got to prioritize that time. But as Marion said, and that's a great point, people like Marion and folks out there that are taxpayers, that their money's going toward this stuff, they need to get involved because they have the time to get involved. They can get in their car in the morning. They can go to the meetings while maybe their son and daughter-in-law or whatever the case may be are out working. So I think Marion makes a good point. People have to get involved in that. And we've got to stand on that. And a lot of what happened with the recall is about that. A lot of young mothers, it was basically young mothers that started this recall. And a lot of them because of the situation of what was happening with their children. I mean, you don't poke Mama Grizzly. You just don't do it.
I won't.
I know a lot better. You know, but that's the things, those are the things we have to look at. And so, you know, we need to get engaged on a local level. Again, I go back to the local level. Don't get me wrong. We have to pay attention. We've got to understand where everything's coming from. We have to understand that. But the fight is going to be mano a mano or gal on gal. It's got to be there. You can't have a situation where, you know, there's nothing we can do about some of these things compared to what we can do locally. That's where the fight's got to be.
Well, when we start locally and we start getting things under control here, and others in their jurisdictions can do the same, and if enough of it grows within a state, I mean, heck, throughout the territory of Jefferson, it should be a no-brainer that this should be happening. And if we have to do it here in Shasta County just to get the ball rolling to show other counties how to do it, then, you know, by the grace of God, we're going to get it done. It's going to happen.
You know, this year we've set a record already of people being recalled in the state of California locally.
Yep.
68 people. Already this year we've set a record. So,
and we have three.
Yeah, we have three.
And we have three out of the 68 of the 58 counties in the state of California.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and I think that's just the beginning. I know there's things going on in Placer. There's things going on in Yuba, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that those things are going to be happening all over. And we've got to stand and make sure it's done. And folks, you got to come out of your comfort zone. I remember a long time ago there was a senator named Arlen Specter, and he was a senator that was, Pennsylvania, but I think it was. Anyway, Arlen Specter ended up going from a Republican to a Democrat, and I remember a young woman that stood there, and it was all over the news, and she just was a young mom, and she looked at Arlen Specter because of all the crud that was going on in our country, and she shook her finger. This is when the Tea Party started. And she said, "You don't know it, but you've awakened a sleeping giant. You've awoken the bear." And her voice was quivering. Now, you talk about getting out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about having the guts and the courage to stand up for what you believe in. Remember, those rights are God-given. They're not man-given. They're God-given. And the Constitution is there to protect them. That's the line in the sand the government doesn't cross.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes left, Liz. And Marion, would you like to share some more information?
Well, I just want to encourage people, you know, they may be wondering, well, what can I do, you know? Right. Well, what could I do personally, you know? I don't have a PhD or any, you know, I'm not super smart, but, you know, I'm just using what God has given me. And I just want to share the words of a song. It's called Ordinary People. And it says, "Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He uses people just like you and me who are willing to do what he commands. God chooses people who will give him all, no matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much as you place it in the master's hand. Oh, just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had, how the multitude was fed with the fish and loaves of bread. What you have may not seem much, but as you yield it to the touch of the master's loving hand, then you will understand how your life will never be the same. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. Your little becomes much as you place it in the master's hand."
Wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, I think we've got 1 minute left.
I think that's where we need to stop.
Yeah, it is. You know, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for being on. You're always welcome. I hope you enjoyed your time here. I know that the people that were listening certainly did. God bless you both. And say hi to Papa Bear for me, will you?
I will.
Great guy. Great guy. Real patriot. So, folks, that's going to wrap up another episode.
Well, and I want to encourage everybody out there, too. If you see groups running recall signature tables, walk up, offer to help, do what you can, learn about it, and sign. for your district, and let's get this taken care of.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.